Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
In the dark times of old, the world was engulfed in foulness and decay. The waters receded, the bitter rains fell. Civilization was powerless in the face of steadily rising temperatures, and lands and cities that had thrived for hundreds of years vanished without a trace. The one called Pope Francis tried to unite all of the faithful, but those who called themselves Muslims reminded him that long ago they had quietly begun building their own fortress of followers to protect the planet. In this latest installment of our real-life saga about religion and the environment, a series we're calling God's Plan, Faith Communities Mobilize on the Environment, we look today at the history of environmental protection in Islam. How is the message of caring for the planet conveyed in mosques by real imams with active congregations? Imam Mustafa Omar is Education and Outreach Director at the Islamic Institute of Orange County in California. We spoke to him this week in the middle of his fasting during Ramadan, and he told us the timing of the Pope's encyclical is an invitation for the members of his mosque to think about their responsibility to the earth.
When it came out, we said Alhamdulillah, which means praise be to God. We said, you know, this, it's about time that we have a large organization, international organization like the church, speaking out on something like this. There's a term in the Quran that's used. It's called the word Khalifa, which is not used in a political sense. As head of state, but in the linguistic sense, it means somebody who's a deputy acting on behalf of somebody else. So human beings are described in the Quran as being a khalifa acting on behalf, a deputy acting on behalf of God. So while we're here, we have this privilege, and this privilege comes with a responsibility. And that responsibility is you can use the things that God has created, but you can't abuse them. And that's part of our test in life. So there's a lot of doctrines that you find in the Quran, and you find in the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad, where he talks about, you know, if you're using water, even if you're at the bank of a river, don't waste that water, right? Because somebody else could have utilized it after you. So the emphasis on responsibility and not wasting things, not destroying things, not corrupting things, causing corruption in the land and in the seas and all of these things, they're themes that are common throughout the Quran and throughout the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad.
Do you think the fact that the encyclical was released at the same day as the first day of Ramadan was significant? Did it seem as though there was a reaching out there from the Vatican?
Yeah, I'm not actually sure about that, to be honest with you. I'm kind of glad that it was, though. Ramadan is a time where, you know, where Muslims are fasting, and they're actually learning through fasting and refraining from eating and drinking throughout the day. They're actually learning a level of self-control. And that's important because when it comes to these environmental issues, it does require a level of self-control to be able to take your cup and hold on to it and walk to a trash can until you can throw it away in the right place or find a recycle bin and throw it into the recycling. Or to make sure that, you know, you don't throw something on the floor or you don't, you know, take more food than you can eat or something like that. So I think, you know, it is interesting that it comes in the month of Ramadan. And Ramadan is actually the time where the mosques are full of worshippers around the entire world, in America and all the other Muslim countries and even non-Muslim countries. So this is a perfect opportunity for us as imams, as religious leaders, to actually remind our congregation, to remind the Muslims that we have a responsibility to the environment. We have a responsibility to make sure that in our individual capacity, we're doing what we need to do and not doing something which is actually going to end up hurting the environment, it's going to be hurting the earth. And at the same time, we need to be vocal and we need to be active and educate other people about what's actually happening so that we're not in violation of the principles of Islam that were taught in the Quran.
Imam Mustafa, if you've observed the reaction among some Christian politicians, conservative Christian politicians, to what the Pope has said, that he should mind his own business and leave science to the scientists, how have people responded in your community, in the Muslim community generally, to the idea of Islam and environmental consciousness?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of laugh off some of those more extreme comments because it's the science that's actually pointing to the fact that the environment is in danger. So when they're trying to dismiss something like this, it's pretty clear to see that they're driven more by prophets, P-R-O-F-I-T-S, rather than the followings and the teachings of the prophets, P-R-O-P-H-E-T-S. So it's something that, you know, it's of concern that people are dismissing this, especially people who we expect that their moral framework and their, you know, moral background would support an encyclical like this, and actually they should be jumping on board and they should be happy about something like this, but instead they seem to be upset. But when it comes down to it, it depends on what you, you know, what you do shows what you really believe in the depth of your heart. And I think that's coming out in the open now. It's becoming more transparent.
The relationship between the people of God and the people of science has often been a divisive one, and that down through history, science has been used as a way to divide all faiths. Do you think there's a chance that this issue, that climate change and the environment, could be a moment for reversing that, for in fact coming together in a way that hasn't really been seen among all the faiths since, you know, 1,000 years ago?
Well, first of all, I would say that may have been the case in, you know, medieval Europe among Christendom. But in Islamic history, there's never been this divide between the scientists and the Muslim scholars or the religion. You know, they've always been in quite good harmony. If you look throughout the golden age of Islam in Baghdad and in Spain and all these different regions. But in terms of now, yes, this is a great opportunity. I think that they can unite on something. In the sense that, well, see, science is just going to simply point to the problem and show, like, this is a major issue, this is a problem. Science, from the religious perspective, from the Islamic perspective, is not going to be making moral judgments. And from an Islamic perspective, we're going to step in and say, no, you know what? Yeah, there are blessings in life. God has created certain things for us, but we're not supposed to abuse them to the extent where they could be gone. We may not have anything for the next generation to even have left. They're not going to have any of these blessings. And we can, you know, we can find alternative ways to benefit from the resources that we've been provided without destroying them for the future generations.
Imam Mustafa Umar, thanks so much.
Thank you very much for having me.
Imam Mustafa Umar is Education and Outreach Director at the Islamic Institute of Orange County, California. He spoke with us from public radio station KUCI in Irvine.